What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Rip City Rundown podcast. First podcast in about 2 months, a little under 2 months. This is episode 122. Our last pod was the biggest pod of the offseason, reviewing the Denny Avdia trade, reviewing Donovan Klingon and that pick we made in the draft. And since then, we've had Summer League, and other than that, nothing. Before we get into where we've been and what we will be and where we will be over the next couple months, it's three of us. So welcome back, Cody. West, how are you doing? Cody, how are you doing? I'll send it to you first, West.
You know, I'm doing good. The Blazers, it's been very quiet on the Blazer front. Always quiet on the Western front, but replace Western with Blazers. It's been so quiet. But post-Summer League, it's given us some time to reflect, thinking about the season. I've been caught on Olympic basketball, which, of course, is like the complete opposite of the Blazers right now. It's like the most talented roster we've ever assembled for USA basketball. Meanwhile, the Blazers are over here. I think, Cody, you just said it. We're plus 100,000 to make the finals. You could probably find something better to do with your money. But, yeah, it's good to be back, us three. Cody, I know you've been busy. You've been tackling other things. Cole will explain that in a second. But, yeah, how are you, Cody? I mean, welcome back.
After just in general. Yeah, I am super excited to talk some Blazers, even though there hasn't been that many news since the Denny trade. And I'm just really excited about this year, to be honest, and to see what we can do. Cole, you want to explain the news?
Yeah, okay. Well, first off, by the way, we'll get into it at the end of the video, but this is technically the first podcast since the infamous quotes me and Wes were saying it as, Cody's got big news. Cody's got inside information. We have sources of things going on inside the Blazers. We'll get to that at the end of the podcast, though. But Cody is here to explain. It could be huge. It could be nothing. We don't know yet. We're waiting to hear it from Cody. But obviously, if you've been following us for the last couple months, ever since really the beginning of the Blazers season, ever really since Dame got traded, we've been doing a lot of TikTok content, RCR trivia, a lot of trivia content, just solely all about the NBA. We've obviously kept up with the podcast. We still have our Rip City Rundown Instagram that you can follow that I know a lot of you guys follow. And we're still going to get a lot of Blazer stuff in there, probably once every 2 weeks throughout the offseason when the Blazers are very popular, trade deadline, maybe once a week, maybe more than that. But we've put a lot of our time into this RCR trivia and a lot of time into expanding to more of the NBA. So we're going to be back on YouTube, though. Obviously, first YouTube video in over a month and a half. We're posting YouTube shorts. That is our trivia that you can also go find on Instagram at rcr.trivia or on TikTok at rcr.trivia. All those links will be in the description. But you might see more than just Blazer content on this YouTube channel when we do drop YouTube videos. That doesn't mean any of the videos or the podcasts that you are used to in the past will stop. Those will continue. You just might see some more NBA and totality content. So it's not huge news if you're here for the Blazer podcast, because that will stay. But if you've been here from the beginning and you were like, I want to hear these guys' thoughts on more than just the Blazers, we will be doing that more in the future. But this is not that. This is Rip City Rundown episode 122. So we will get into the Blazer content. First thing I'll talk about, and the first question I'll pose, since we never really closed out Summer League, just as a whole, is there anything you took away from Summer League that you were like, that's good, that's bad? I mean, I would think this was less of an important Summer League than past ones, but still, big pick in Klingon. We saw him play, and he played very well.
Yeah, I didn't even have a chance really to talk about Klingon because I haven't been on pod since we've actually drafted him. So to see him actually on the floor, I didn't watch the full game, but I definitely watched some highlights for a few games here and there. One of the games I partly watched, but I like what I saw. We haven't, you know, there's been a lot of controversy in our big man the last, you know, honestly forever since Odin. Like, every big man, there's always just been a huge problem, a big, you know, thing that everyone's upset about. For Nurk, it was, you know, his toughness, kind of same for Ayton. Nurk, like his finishing and the injuries, Odin, and then LaMarcus, his loyalty. Every like big has had just an issue, so I'm really hoping that, you know, we've taken enough shots to finally hit a target, and Klingon can possibly be that target and stay with us for years to come. So, but over Summer League, I'm happy what I saw from him, and that's what I'm most excited about this season.
That's a good point, because I didn't even think about that. Like, you didn't even include Whiteside in that. Like, Whiteside would be like a head case, like Alder just loyalty, like Nurk had attitude issues, like Bigs and Portland haven't paired well.
Freedom's not eating in the playoffs. Like, it's tough.
Freedom's not eating. Freedom's a one-way player. I mean, yeah, we've been there. But, yeah, I think Klingon is kind of the major talking point. He's the header of this offseason because he was the number 7 pick. The way we got him in the draft was kind of surprising. It was good business. It was good value from Cronin and Mike Schmitz even. I mean, Cody, I don't even know if you know this, but Mike Schmitz, you know, he's our main scout, and you know that part, but I don't know if you know that he, like, scouted Klingon, like, years ago when he was in high school. Like, Schmitz kind of feels like he has the ability to kind of go get his guy, and he picks him out pretty early. I mean, he even had, if you go back in his Twitter, he has great things to say about Denny before he came over from Washington, so he kind of leaves breadcrumbs, huh?
Even Ryan Repair, he was talking about.
Even Repair, which... Good transition. Speaking of that draft class, Klingon was good in Summer League, which we'll get into more. Chris Murray, on the other hand, I know, Cole, you have your thoughts on Chris Murray. To me, he was in Repair's draft, which is where I'm getting the transition. Chris Murray doesn't – I don't know if he's got the juice necessarily. We don't need to spend a ton of time on Chris Murray. I was going to give you the floor if you wanted to kind of really, you know, plant your flag in terms of where you want to be on Chris Murray and kind of stake your territory, mark your territory, so to speak. Kind of commit to a side.
You know,
I don't see it in Chris Murray.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Murray, ever since the moment we drafted him, I was kind of out just because it was the same night we drafted Scoot. So it was the same night we were kind of closing the chapter on the Dame era. So I was already kind of hot-headed. And then you just look into Chris Murray in college. I mean, he had one good, pretty good year, his final year in Iowa. He kind of did what Keegan Murray did at the end of his career as well. And he's a 23-year-old rookie. He's never really shot the ball well in the NBA. He doesn't do anything elite. And now what? He's going to be 25, 26 going into this year. We don't expect us to be good for the next 2 years. Like, by the time the Blazers are trying to even make the playoffs again, let alone contend, this guy's going to be 28. And I just think his ceiling is a ninth man on a rotation, get spot minutes, be Sam Hauser. Like,
I mean, just to add on to that, I think another reason why he was kind of on the bad side of a lot of Blazer fans is because he was drafted 23, and we were promised that pick was going to be used to keep Dame here, and instead we draft Chris Murray. So probably not his fault necessarily, but he was already, you know, behind the eight ball coming in terms of how Blazer fans felt about him, I guess. But
yeah, and he just didn't show anything. He didn't show anything in this summer league either. That's another thing. Like, I would be talking about him differently if come this summer league, his second go around. Most times when a guy plays in their second year in summer league, they're the old guy. I mean, he's already the old guy his rookie year, but he's even older the second year. And I was expecting him to go out there and be the second best player on our team, the third best player on our team. And I felt like I was watching him do nothing special. Mm-hmm. He shot the ball poorly. He had maybe one good shooting performance. And I just, like, there's nothing special about him. So, I mean, yeah, we're a rebuilding team. I'm not expecting him to come out and be the next LeBron James and, like, go out and lead us to a championship. But I was hoping to see a little more, especially in summer league. So,
yeah. Okay.
I'm out on Keegan. Or Chris, excuse me.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cody,
we can...
Did you watch much summer league?
I watched, like, half of a game, but then mostly just highlights.
I mean, fair enough. What? Do you have any thoughts in terms of, like, Klingon or anything?
From the summer league, I mean, God, this was such a long time ago because now we're pushing August 14th. To be honest, no, I do not remember much, but we can jump around just the roster in general. I mean, you guys are kind of down on Chris Murray. I'm not as much. I think his potential is a little higher than you guys. You could still give him a little bit more time to develop. I understand your frustrations, but if he's Sam Hauser, who cares? Sam Hauser won a championship. So,
I mean, yeah, stealing Sam Hauser.
I'm joking though, but we can just jump around. I think it'd be beneficial for our time here if we can just jump around the roster and just give like a 30 second, just rant thoughts on the players, whether that's summer league or last year, just your overall excitement on them going into the season. I'll start with Denny, just the most exciting one, I'd say. What do you guys think?
I think it's a share.
Give a rating. Give a rating out of 10.
Out of 10?
Excitement. Okay. So, like, even though Jeremy's a better player than Chris Murray, you don't need to, like, scale it to, like, that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Denny I mean, I don't know about out of 10, like 8 or 9, I guess, but like he's top 3 of it's close. I think the top 4 most excited to watch this year, I'll just say it, is Scoot, Shaden, Denny, and Klingon, because that seems to be kind of the core. You know, Ant, I know what he is. Grant, of course we know what he is. Aiden, we know what he is. But those 4 who I'm looking at, and you know, you said Denny. I think I'm most excited to watch Klingon. In terms of what I saw in Summer League, I was really impressed because the defense was there. The rim protection was there. Even the playmaking was there. And again, it's tough for the people watching this. Like, everyone's like, oh, he shot bad. Like, he didn't play good. And it's like, he's playing with guards who can't make an NBA roster. Like, it's going to be different when he has Simons, when he's rolling off a Simons screen, this amount of space he's going to have. I mean, of course, you know, he might get met at the rim by NBA guys in the first 2 weeks. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be Victor out of the gate. And even Victor, like, shot like crap in the Olympics. And Chris Paul's going to help Victor out. Like, you need good guard. It's a guard-driven league, maybe a wing-driven. It's not a big-driven league is what I'm saying. And Jokic and Embiid are exceptions to that. Like, yeah. Ayton's never going to be a number one option. And so Klingon's a complimentary player. And that's kind of what you saw in the draft this year, a lot of complimentary guys. But I think Klingon is someone who... You guys agree with that?
With Klingon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Klingon's not a guy that you are going to say, give him the ball, you're our best player, go give us a bucket. Like, I think we know that. The reason I was so high on the pick, and the reason I was like, this guy, I think, could be the first overall pick, and even though we already have a guy that we traded for in Ayton that, like, probably at the time we were hoping could be our future guy, like, I don't care. Get Klingon if you can. Because he's a guy that, with the way the roster is constructed, where you're clearly two of your main pieces are Scoot and Shaden and guards, getting a big that doesn't need the ball and hangs his hat on the opposite side of the ball that Scoot and Shaden somewhat lack at, I think is huge. So I think Klingon slides into this team perfectly to where he can be like, I'm comparing it. It's a bad comparison because, or at least, no, it's a fine comparison for at least his rookie year. If he does what like Derek Lively did his rookie year, that's an amazing rookie year. You're playing with two hopefully to be elite on ball guards that want the ball in their hands and that can facilitate. And then he's just playing defense and rolling to the hoop. He's going to average 12 and 11. And counting stats, you're not going to say he's a top 3 center. But eye test, you're going to say he could be a top 3 center one day. So I know we were supposed to talk about Denny, Cody, but Klingon, I think we can all agree, is probably who we are most excited for.
Yeah, if we're talking about excited players, we can jump around the roster. Like I said, Klingon, I would say, is the most exciting player, at least I'm excited to watch this season. I'd give him a 10 out of 10, maybe 9.5 out of 10. I think Derek Lively is a good comparison in terms of, you know, what rookies are capable of. But, like, what's, like, a good player mold comparison? Because I almost, like he's a strong center. Like, he's pretty heavy. Really muscular.
Yeah.
He's not like a skinny chat type build. He's kind of like, do I give him a Nurk type build with different attributes in terms of Nurk's better passer, but Klingon could.
It's tough because he's 7'2", and typically guys like that big who don't have like the range shooting are kind of like, oh, they're going to like, it's tough for them to be successful. And a player comp is really hard, I feel like.
He's 280.
I mean, honestly, this could be a terrible comp, but like, if our guards can become like competitive, like pick and roll guys, like he could do some like Capella Houston stuff, I'm sure. Kind of like, because he's a lob threat. Like, we can talk about things like Aiden's going to start. The things that Klingon bring to the table that Aiden doesn't have is Klingon is a better rim protector. And you know, he's taller. I mean, Aiden's probably the better scorer. Obviously he's the better scorer. We're not projecting right now because we're just, like, as they are now, but Klingon's playmaking is better. Capella had none of that, but I don't know what I like about Klingon being the most exciting to watch for me. And the reason why I said that is because I feel like rookie bigs are much easier to like grade than guards. Like, Scoot is so hard to like analyze as a point guard. You have to do so much. Like Klingon, it's going to be pretty black and white. Like, did you defend the rim well tonight, and were you efficient scoring when you got the ball from 3 feet from the rim? Whereas Scoot is like, you could have shot bad, but did you make the right reads? And that takes more of an advanced eye when you watch these games. It's much more difficult for guards coming into the league. So that's why I'm excited to watch Klingon, because it's going to be very obvious to see if he's like hitting his check marks, I guess.
Yeah. I like the Capella comp offensively, and then I think like he's got a higher defensive potential. Like he really could be like a...
like a Wemby, right? I'm kidding.
I was literally going to say like a Gobert defensively, like that.
Yeah, but he's
better on his feet, so I don't think he's a guy like Gobert Klingon, that's going
to
get...
Like Klingon's going to project to, he's going to be able to hit a three down the road.
No, yeah, that's why offensively or defensively, I'm saying like he's got Gobert level potential. And that's
because on ball, it might not be great, but like in terms of like roaming around the baseline at the rim, like, yeah, I could see that.
And then, yeah, he was taking some threes in summer league, which I thought was good to see no matter how he shot him. But going to Denny here real quick. Denny, when it comes to excitement, like I feel like I know what I'm about to get from Denny and I'm excited to see it. Anticipation wise, he's probably like fourth because I'm like more excited and I'm anticipating it more to see what Klingon can do, the hopeful jumps of Shaden and Scoot as well, and like kind of needing one of those to take a jump. But I'm excited to like just see a steady forward presence,
yeah.
Especially small forward. Like we had a steady presence in Jeremy. Like he's been steady the last 2 years. He was steady when we were trying to be good for the first 4 months when he got here. But we haven't had that as a three since. I mean, you can call Harkless or Aminu steady, but like Denny's better than them.
Denny, he's 23, so his ceiling can get better. It really
he's
can.
23.
It can generally get so much better. However, I am going to have to agree with you that I think Simons and Sharp have a higher potential ceiling jump. Like, it's generally good. Think, like, Simons, you know, I'm not going to say, like, if he could turn into, like, okay, this is stretch, but, like, a Shea-type player that dominant offensively, and he'd have to improve defensively. Yeah. I'm just saying, theoretically, if we're talking about improvements, he could get to that level. I don't think Denny could get to necessarily that level just because of his mold and his structure on the NBA floor is more set. And it's just going to be, can you get your 3-point percentage up? Kind of little stuff like that. Like guards, it's kind of easier, I feel like.
Well, also, I feel like Denny's kind of his jump was this past year in Washington. He really kind of took off this past year. And like, I don't know. I was thinking what you're saying, Cole, like the last step. And of course, like, I'm not going to overreact that Denny's the next Nick Batum, but you got to go back to Batum probably to find a three that was a steady for the Blazers.
Yeah.
Because post Batum, we're looking at Aminu, Harkless, and then we get into three guard lineups since freaking 2018. And you're like,
and look at Batum.
I wonder why we finished 29th in defense every year. But
Batum's still in the league today. That's like, just how steady he is. He's still in the league today. Batum. In fact, he was playing against LeBron James in the finals.
Yeah,
the
he
Olympics.
Got cooked by Curry on the last shot. But yeah. I don't know. It's good to have a 23-year-old at the forward position who's still growing, but, you know, it's just, I'm not saying Jeremy, like you said, Jeremy's a much better player than Denny, but Jeremy, I think, doesn't fit the identity of the team long-term as much. And I'm not just talking about age. I'm talking about like Denny can like go, he can compete athletically with this team. Like Scoot and Denny can run. Like similarly, a fast break. Like Denny can grab a rebound and go. Like Jeremy is kind of like your guy. Like, oh, I got to get the ball at my spot, break the defense down. You know, if we want it to be just, I mean, the Blazers are probably going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year because it's just going to be athleticism and we're going to lose 60 games, but it'll be fun to watch. You know,
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited about Denny. He seems though like he's lower on my you know, I'm excited to watch list just because he's a complimentary player. And so is Klingon, but Klingon's like our draft pick.
Yeah.
But for me, one, two are the guards, especially, I don't know, are you taking Scoot or Sharp more in terms of who you're more excited
just
to watch?
Excitement? I'd say Sharp. I think he has more room to grow.
I don't know, man. I think
it's close.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to talk about something else, but so you can give your thoughts.
Well, let's jump into Scoot and Shaden real quick. Because I think the biggest thing going into this next season is, do you get a jump from Scoot or Shaden? Because if we're in the same spot next year and you don't get a jump from, I think more so Shaden than Scoot, because this is year three for Shaden, and I feel like it's very rare for someone to not like break out until their fourth year and then be good consistently. But like if you're looking at one of those two, like I think it's pretty paramount that you see a jump next year. And a jump doesn't mean resulting in wins. It means like, I'm trying to come with a comparison to a bad team. Like, I think we can all see, like, Brandon Miller, like, showed last year he will probably be a all-star caliber player for the next, for a five-season stretch in his career. Like, if we can see that from Scooter Shaden, then I'll be extremely happy. If we don't see it, then I'll start asking questions and be like, these are our guys. We need you.
So yep. I have a question for you, because, or for both of you, because the mantra this season is not hashtag can Scoot grow. It's hashtag capture the flag. That's kind of our mantra this year. So I have a question. Would you rather see Scoot and Shaden both take big leaps, or we get Cooper Flagg in the draft next year?
I mean, that's so hard, because I would rather get Cooper Flagg in the draft, just because he's like the best American prospect since Zion, probably hyped up wise, and that's 5 years right there. But I think if you wash this year, if you like take this year and you see nothing from Scoot or Shaden, and then but you still get the first overall pick, so like obviously you're super bad. Like, it's gonna be just kind of like a double-edged sword. I don't know if that's what the term I'm looking for here, but it's going to be a little disappointing, because I mean, yeah, you get Flag, but you need guys around Flag, and Flag, we don't even know if Flag will be good. Like, obviously, I think he's got a better chance of being good in the NBA than Scoot. He's got a higher ceiling than Scoot, probably, just because of his position and just because of how good he is, quite frankly. But I don't know. Of course, ideally, you're looking for both. Because I don't think a jump from Shane or Scoot necessarily will mean resulting in wins. So,
Cody, what do you think?
I completely agree. I thought you were going to argue a Scoot and Simons jump does result in wins, and I was going to beg to defer, but you changed your mind at the end, which I do as well. Or that's what I think. I think that Scoot and Sharp, even if they get significantly better, I don't think that's necessarily going to translate to wins, because young talent does not necessarily mean wins. It's about team construction. It's about injuries. It's about how well your stars play, like Jeremy and Ayton. Ayton's probably going to start still. And those aspects are really important. And it's a freaking roll of the dice when it actually comes to the number one pick. We saw Atlanta got the first pick, and they were like a borderline playing team. So, you know, you see stuff like that, and it's just like, that's why tanking in the NBA is like not as, I'd say, good as other leagues around in just America, because of how that's constructed. Because you're not necessarily sure your odds are the best to get Cooper Flagg for the worst team in the league, but you still might as well just try to play good basketball.
Isn't it like, if you're the worst team, aren't you still tied in odds with like the bottom three?
Yeah, bottom three have the same odds. Yeah. So like, I think almost like just by default, I think we will have a bottom three record in the NBA. Like, straight up.
Who's going to be worse than us?
We're going to be the worst team in the West. We'll be the worst team in the West for sure.
The Spurs?
Yeah, the only
better.
Teams that I can. The Spurs
Jazz
will be better.
Better.
The only teams like in the only teams in the entire league I can think of that'll be worse than us is like
Detroit,
Pistons
in Brooklyn.
Maybe Detroit, the Nets, maybe. They don't have
Charlotte,
anybody now.
No.
I don't know. The Wizards. I think the Wizards will be worse than us.
Do.
The Raptors.
Just kind of, the Raptors will be, the Raptors are just,
I think
like,
they'll be better than us, but they'll be bad, I think.
So just piggybacking off that question, you were saying, you guys both said you'd rather take Flag over an improvement from Scoot and Shaden. And now, Cody, I want to ask you, will Shaden improve, or is there something you want to tell everyone, you know, with Shaden Sharp?
With Shaden
Might
Sharp.
As well go to it now. We're talking about it.
Shaden Sharp, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to say much. It's just there's people in the whatever Blazer organization that whatever this gets connection to this person, five down the line, whatever. And it's just that there's some just, I guess, aggression mentality. The mentality of some Blazers players is just not where, I guess, is competent enough to be a championship team. I guess put it in this way, like if you are born with money, let's say, like you're born rich, your parents are rich, then you're probably not going to, like you're going to be rich, but you're probably not going to work that hard in life. It's probably, everything's going to come easy. Kind of like think about that and put it into perspective of some players. I don't want to say any specific names of the players, but let's just say it's Scoo is a dog. He always will be. And I think we should be really happy about him. But there are some, that's all. What do you guys have to say about that?
We basically what you're saying is like, we need players to dominate. That's what I hear. And apparently some people say they dominate and they just don't dominate.
Well, I think, thank you, Cody. And for those that were listening, that's kind of the news. And you can do your own research, but Cody is obligated to not, basically, he can't get too detailed. We don't want to burn the bridges on our sources here, so we can't get too detailed. We can't. So, but basically what Cody's saying is, you know, we're a very young team. There are certain people in the locker room that I think try to find the easy way out, and I think it's not necessary. I don't think we're building the best culture, but I think Scoot is at the front of trying to build a good culture. I think Jeremy's an ultimate pro. I think Simons works hard. If you want to be a detective, you can probably guess who we're talking about. And that's not to say they're not competitive. I think it just means that they maybe care about other things, like maybe just, you know, the contract, or just, you know, maybe if they're partly injured, they're not going to tough it out. And part of it, to defend these guys, is you're playing on a 20-win team. Like, I'm sure if we were a top team and we were really good, they would be playing through some stuff, or they would have a better mentality. And we're young, we're on a bad team, it's easy to kind of coast. But Cody is basically saying that we have some guys who are not dogs, is basically what he's saying. And it makes sense when you think about it and you watch it. And, you know, some of them in their press conferences say they are dogs, which is weird.
Yeah, I think what you hit it, like, part of it's just coming from you're on a bad team, and then part of it, yeah, it's just mentality. Like, I think there's a lot of players you see on the floor, like, you're not watching, like, I don't even know who Cody's talking about, but you're not watching, watching Shaden Sharp, you're not watching Jeremy Grant, you're not watching DeAndre Ayton, you're like, oh, these guys are dogs, and they have firepower. You watch Scoot, and you watch Jabari Walker, and you're like, yeah, these guys are dogs, and they want it. So it's pretty clear almost to even people that don't understand.
And that's why I don't care if he was a minus 60 in two games and he's a poot. Scoot Henderson is a dog. And for the people that think, you know, basically give him the benefit of the doubt, because like he has the makings of a star. Like, you have to have that supreme confidence in yourself. You have to have the mentality of like, I'm that guy, but I also have to work extremely hard. He has all that. Like, he's cut from the same cloth that Dame was, and that this cloth does not include talent, because that there's a giant abyss between Dame and Scoot in terms of talent at this point. But I'm just saying that Scoot, I would not be mad if Scoot became the face of the Blazers one day, is what I'm saying. I would not be mad at all. And it'd almost give me vibes of like going from like, I don't know, I'm not even going to say that because Aaron Rodgers is not a good face of the league. But like, the Packers had like great quarterback play for like 25 years. And the Blazers could get that with a point guard in terms of like the face of the community. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is a good guy. He's not.
And I'm...
Nor is Brett Favre.
I think... Yeah, don't even go get started on Packers quarterbacks. Like, I am not worlds more confident, but I am pretty confidently more confident that Scoot Henderson will be a better player than Shaden Sharp. I'm more in the camp of Scoot Henderson is the future than Shaden Sharp. I see a lot of people on Twitter, a lot of Blazer fans going on.
Shaden Sharp?
Huh?
Why do you keep saying Shaden Sharp?
I'm just not. I'm not in on Shaden Sharp as much as I am on Scoot Henderson. I still think Shaden Sharp can be a great player, can be an all-star caliber player. But I see a lot of people on Twitter when they see the top 25 under 25 rankings and they're like, how is Shaden Sharp not on this list? No one's saying how is Scoot Henderson not on this list, but I think there's a lot of consensus among like big time Blazer fans that show themselves on social media the most, that I see their reaction the most. This could not be from the diehard Blazer fans. This is just the ones that I see the most. And they're thinking Shaedon Sharpe is going to break out and average 25 points per game this year or next year. And I just like, we haven't seen any of that to prove that Shaedon Sharpe will do that. And if you take me back to the final 10 games of the 2022-2023 regular season where he averaged 22 points per game in 40 minutes against bad teams, then fine. If that's what makes you think you're going to be a good player, then that's you. But we've seen a lot of Brandon Williams was averaging 17 points per game during that time too, and he's out of the league. So I'm not taking that time as like the big, this is why Shaedon Sharpe will be good. I'm looking at just like what, just I'm looking at attitude. I'm looking at kind of just, yeah.
What? Cody, I have a question. Would you say in terms of like mentality, do you think people that like can't go to a game because their driveway's too icy, you think they're dogs?
Yeah, that was a public story. That's fine. He's talking about DeAndre Ayton. Look, it's not even, I don't even need to say this. Like, I think it's common knowledge that Ayton is just soft. Like, let's just get that out of the way. And to be honest, he's probably a big trading piece.
Oh,
this is a good transition point to, I guess, like the least exciting players to watch this league, the ones that could potentially be gone. I'm putting Jeremy Grant. What? I'm putting Jeremy in that. I'm putting so, Jeremy there.
Let's go to the least exciting players, DeAndre Ayton.
Okay, well, let's be honest. Trade value, he's with Klingon. I wouldn't be saying this if we didn't draft Klingon. We just drafted a center. Like, we saw Scoot came, Dane was out.
I'm with you.
Here comes Klingon.
Are you taking Ayton or Nurk?
I'm taking Nurk, honestly. No, I don't know. But,
Whoa.
No, I don't know. But basically,
we've got our fair share of. Okay,
basically, let's talk about Ayton. We haven't really talked about him during this podcast. With Klingon here, we still have Robert Williams. Where do you see Ayton? Does he start? Does he stay all year? Does he start all year? Does he go at the trade deadline? Do we try to trade him? He's still young, 2018 drafted. He's like approaching not even halfway through his career. So what do we think about?
Gosh, man.
Personally, in my camp, sorry, I'm going on a rant here, but. Tangent.
You're good.
But I'm not an Ayton fan. I'm not going to lie. I was a Nurk fan. Nurk's gone. Ayton came. I was, you know, I was excited. But once I saw his demeanor and his play style, I just don't really like.
No, I know you're saying.
Mentality, man. I don't think Ayton can be a championship player on a team. And the fact that he got to the finals with the Suns, whatever.
Okay, so.
I think we move on.
He was also a different player pre-getting his big contract. So.
Okay, so now we're starting to say this. So, I think Ayton is, in terms of talent, top 8 center in the league, talent-wise. I think where he gets in trouble is he, like you said, mentality. But when you're on a really bad team like the Blazers, it is hard to, and I get it. It's very hard to come in night in, night out, and like bring the lunch pail and like be a dog, right? But he's getting paid so much that like he's not, like he's only gonna be a mental like. Be mentally strong and like in it when he's competing for a championship, but he gets paid too much money. He's not good enough to be on one. Like, we're not, yeah, like that's the problem. So he's stuck between a rock and a hard place there. Second part, I think if I had to put money on it, we're dealing him at the deadline. And we're just going to him or Robert Williams. Okay. First of all, if they're all three on the roster come training camp, I mean, you would be like, then I'm going to boycott. But it's the Blazers, so they probably will.
I really don't think a single person will get traded before the start of the season, which is fine. I don't care.
I think one or two, I would lean Ayton gets dealt at the deadline or Robert Williams, depending on who honestly looks better, so we can cash in at a highest value we could, I guess. But I see Ayton getting dealt at the deadline and giving the keys to Klingon for the stretch run of
the stretch run of losing where we need to go through with 23 on the back half.
That's what I want. Cole, what do you want?
I'm thinking back to where you said like Ayton gets paid a ton and like
It's really not a ton at this point, though.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, still, you would think in a normal job, if you get paid more, the odds are you're better at your job and you are a harder worker at your job and you do more for the company. So it's just so crazy how the NBA can work like that, where you can get paid, you can get a raise and then scale back your production and scale back your fire and your hard working because you're like, I got my contract. It's crazy how it works that way.
But part of it is, if you're comparing this to a normal job or a regular corporate job, like, someone could be doing a really good job, but he's not the reason that the team is successful and the boss still gives him the raise. Like, for example, was Bradley Beal worth 50 mil or was he just putting up 30? Was he getting empty calories in Washington?
No, like, yeah, I mean, that's facts.
It goes both ways. Like, and that's why I think, like, for example, the Atlanta Braves are, like, I'm a Braves fan. We're a great organization because we never overpay for someone. Like, because we do our diligence. We have a good office. Off front office. Can't talk.
In general, it just really pisses me off when, you know, you get paid this much money and the amount of games that these guys miss, it's unbelievable. It's just like, you literally get paid millions to do this.
Now we're talking.
And when, you know, it's just so annoying. Like, you literally are getting paid.
Okay.
20 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand a day. Just play a basketball game. Do your job. And
it sucks because we talk out of like two sides of our mouth because like we're wanting us to lose. So like these guys not playing helps us lose. But like I think we're still going to – if DeAndre Ayton plays all the games he was capable of playing last year, then we would still have the same record. Maybe we had one win.
Yeah, but like that's the thing is like there's so much that goes on that we don't know about. Like, for example, like – I've heard stories, and I'm sure Cody, you've heard this too. Like, certain players, if they're like just like not feeling it, can just get shut down at the half. Like, certain players can just like you could just shut them down if you want to, or like. And the other thing is like, the coaches, and then you have the agents. Like, there's a ton of things. And then when you're on like a bad team, when you're on a really bad team, and you're almost trying to like chase the losses, like. I'm sure people were okay with Ayton sitting. And it's, again, like you said, Cole, it comes out of both sides of our mouths and out of everyone's mouth. Cause Ayton's like, we don't, for what our goals are this season, when the month of April comes around, like, is Ayton really going to help us reach our goals? Because I mean, to defend him, he's 22 and 14 the last month, 2 months. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's knocking his talent. We're knocking his mentality, but how much of his mentality, I mean, it's the reason he got bumped from Phoenix was his falling out with that front office, but like, I'm not going to defend him because I'm not going to be like, your mentality is because your environment sucks, because that would imply that he has to have a good team to be a dog, which as an NBA player, you're professional. You should be locked in every day. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sure life gets in the way from time to time. So I'm not defending him, but I'm also, it's not just Ayton. I'm sure like
it's a lot of people in the environment.
I mean, certain people think Joe Cronin has no idea what he's doing. You know, I don't know who would say that. Cole, that's Cole probably.
No, I'm kidding. I'm being reeled back in by Joe Cronin, but I still like, I don't think he's the bestest of the GMs, but there's so many more things we can talk about, but I want to say like we should, any closing things you want to talk about? Because I mean, we have still so much more offseason to go through, and we'll probably do a whole podcast on Chauncey Billups because we haven't even touched on him, and he's going into the final year of his contract. Like,
well, we got to save some content for the future, but because the Olympics just ended, I don't want to talk about the game. Everyone knows. I got a good thing for you. Do you think Scoot will be in Team USA's plans come 2028 at all?
See, that's a good question because like everyone is doing like they're too early. For the record, I'm going to say no. I don't think Scoot will be in it.
Quickly, I'm saying this because I definitely think Sharp will be in Canada's plans.
I think Sharp could be, yeah. But it's – well, actually, I don't know if Sharp will be because I don't know if he'll actually be that good because I'm out on Sharp.
Fine. But did you see Jamal Murray?
Everyone's doing like their too early 2028 Olympic roster and it's like all guys that are – already all-stars in the league, and it's like you already know three or four guys are that we are not talking about right now are going to be in it. Like, for all we know, like freaking Trey Murphy or Herb Jones could be on this team because they're great players, and they or Herb Trey Jones, Murphy turns into a star. Like
Herb Jones could be the Jrue Holiday.
Like who would have thought in 2020 Tyrese Haliburton would be on it when he's putting up 11-6 on Iowa State? Like
Derek White.
You don't know. So
yeah.
Like Scoot could be on it, and I think if we're going by where I think Scoot will be 4 years from now, I think he will be in the conversation. Like he'll be that. He'll be De'Aaron Fox level point guard to where like he could be.
Well, that's the reason why I'm saying it. It's because, especially when you look at the guards across the league, like Shea, Luka, those two come to mind immediately. But like, I guess I'm saying, or even like Brunson, older.
Shady De'Aaron Fox,
older. Yeah, you know, Mike Conley, obviously old. Chris Paul, old. It's like CJ, old. Dame like, could Trae slide. Young gonna get like. Dame, no. Like, I think it's going to be like the guards going to be like Ja could have a shout coming back, you know, coming back. Ja, Tyrese, but like young guards are going to be like Maxi could be next Olympics, I guess.
Patty Mills is getting up there in age. He probably won't be there.
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is like, I'm sure Book will be next to be if in Edwards, but like there's kind of, and of course, like college guys are going to come in and probably leap some of these dudes that we haven't heard of, like Tyrese in 2020 or that Iowa State, like you said. But, you know, the Scoots, he's young and he's highly thought of. And so you get 4 years, like that's a long time. Like Scoot could be, he could be out of the league in 4 years. I mean, he probably wouldn't be, but he could be like getting his second chance, last chance in 28, or he could be All-NBA third team in 28.
Yeah. Genuine question, Cody. This one's for you. Yeah. I'm kidding. Looking at last year, we all obviously didn't watch as many Blazer games as we did the previous year or the year before that or the year before that. Do you actually think, and we also have lives, like we're a little more busy than we were when we were in high school. Do you think you'll watch more Blazer games this year than you did last year? Or do you think it'll be kind of the same amount? Like two?
Maybe try 20. I'd say
no shot.
20 games. I'd say
I'm not gonna I have not even watched 20.
Cody, you're gonna watch one every four games. I didn't watch 20 last
I mean,
year.
When I say watch, I mean I'm going
Cody,
to the
Cody,
gym.
Cody, you watched the first game of the season against. Okay, never mind.
I walk into the gym. I have my app, my NBA app. I have my phone. Look at my background. It's a spade. Inside joke with Cole. You know, I walk in the gym. I have my phone. I watch the first half. And then if we're getting blown out, I turn it off. And if we're blowing them out, which isn't going to happen this year, then I turn it off. So I don't know how many games I actually – I'd say the line for me watching at least half of a Blazer game, I'd say it's like 20 games at least because I'm pretty busy. But I like to have it on. My background.
Hey, yeah. Are you going to watch more games? Will the Blazers win more games?
Okay, that is huge. Let's talk about the line. Let me go to betting odds right now and see what the Blazers line is. You guys can take a stab.
Are you going on my bookie?
No.
I think the line's like 21, 21 and a half.
Wait, something. Should we get into our best bets segment?
Yeah, that's good. Well, my best bet are for the Phillies to choke because they're down 3-0 in the first inning.
Nice. All right, Cody, give me the line. Give me some odds, and then we'll wrap.
Okay. Let me find us. All right, there we are. Here it is. This is ESPN. What do you guys think the line? Or yeah, do you want me to say number first?
20.
I
think it's 21.5.
I'll say okay. Our line. 21.5 is a great line.
It's low.
I'll say 23.5.
And West, you are on the dot, on the nose, 21.5. Now the question is, are you taking the over or the under?
Boy, so that's
how many
hard.
Did we win last year? 21?
I think it was 21 or 22.
I think we went 21-61. I'm absolutely hammering the under because I think we are going to take this draft seriously.
Yeah, I think like, under.
Genuinely. This is the final puzzle piece.
Gosh, you remember when we started 0-3 last year and we got our first win in Toronto?
Yeah.
Remember that? I was watching that game on my phone and like Scoot kind of was playing in the fourth, I remember. and like we won. And I remember just like, just when the Blazers win a close game, you're just like, you get so amped like 5 minutes, and in my head, I'm like, all right, okay, we'll just get it back to 500, 3-3. We'll start fighting. And then we were like 3-22. It's like, all right.
You were thinking the Blazers are legit.
I'm taking the over. I think we got like 23 okay. wins or 24.
What a season.
Okay. Cody, would you, obviously, like, none of us are probably going to bet it, because it's like a lose-lose, because you want to get the first pick, but you don't want to root for losses, right? Would you bet a large sum of money that the Blazers end up between 20 and 25 wins?
Yeah.
It's somewhere in there. That's why, like, the line is perfect. If it's like a successful season in terms of the line is 24 freaking wins, like, get out of here. It's poor.
Like, I think as long as we're under 20, I'll say 23 wins, I think we're guaranteed top three odds, which is all we're asking for. We're not asking to be the worst team. We're just asking to be a bottom three.
Who will be our last question, and then we'll wrap. Who will be our leading scorer this year? And to qualify, you have to be on the team for the whole season.
Yikes, because I would have said Simons.
Right. And then it'd be great.
See, the easy
thing. You could say Simons, and he'd be on the team for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think
we deal with him in the summer.
I do think Simons will be on the team. I think Jeremy is likely to not be. I mean, I think it's either Simons or Ayton. I don't think Shaden's going to take enough of. I think Shaden can max out at like 18.
Chris.
It's not Chris Murray.
God, this guy hates Chris Murray.
I'll go Simons. I don't think we trade him until the end of the year. We'll either trade him before the season. I don't think he's a trade deadline trade type of guy.
I think he's less likely to be traded this season than Jeremy. I don't know, Ayton. So I'm going to go Simons. Like, probably pretty easy bet there for me.
What if like the Lakers at the deadline just go after like Simons?
And Grant, and we get back nothing.
Yeah, because, my gosh. The Lakers are actually being like smart, but they're also pressured because like after LeBron's like performance in the Olympics, like if I'm the Lakers, like we got to go all in here.
Because I'm still like at the point where like, again, I've kind of said this a lot and I've said this throughout past podcasts. I'm not sold on Shaden that he's a part of like the core three future. And like,
so would you trade Shaden for 2 firsts?
No. Because I would, well, if he's not good this year, then yeah. But like, I still, if Simons comes out and does what I thought he did what he was going to do last year, which I thought he was going to average like 24, 25 and shoot well. My hot take was he was going to average 28 plus. He ended up getting hurt at the beginning of the year, probably slowed him down a little bit. But if Simons comes out here and averages 25 or 26, which like that's a very low probability scenario, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities with how good of a shooter he is. If he does that and Shaden again has an injury plagued season, then like, I wouldn't be surprised if we cut the cord on Shaden and just say, all right, scooting Simons, actually. I mean, one of them, I think, is getting cut from the future plans after this season. But, like, it's not set in stone. It's Simons.
Point guard roulette. I remember when I wrote an article. It was called the four-guard conundrum. Who would have thought Damian Lillard was the guy who was getting boomed?
Yeah.
Not me.
Just great.
The last thing. Who do you think wins the finals next year?
Bucks.
The Bucks?
That's such a homer pick, but...
No, but actually, though, like, Giannis coming with a little bit of vengeance. Giannis hasn't played in the playoffs the last 2 years, and Dame's coming with a vengeance.
Yeah. I think the Bucks are scary.
Homer.
Cody, you'll get a kick out of this. Do you think Damian Lillard, if you had to guess, do you think he's a top five shooter on 2K this year, in 25, 2K25?
Oh, I already know they hate him, so no. And it's crazy, because he takes... Yeah, he takes most difficult shots, and they're going to put like Grayson Allen at number two. It's just ridiculous.
Grayson Allen is number two, and Mike Conley is in the top five.
Yeah, I mean,
the Conley one's crazy.
Well, I'm saying that because Dame, they released it. I forgot what Instagram account it was, but like Dame, some dude that like I guess Dame's friend was like, they really do any like this at Dame Lillard, and he like responded like they always like. So I don't know. He seems locked.
I mean,
speaking of video games,
what? When your job is to bring up the ball, ask for the pick, drive to the basket, and space the floor, separate the defense, then yeah, your 3-point percentage ain't gonna be so hot. I'm sure Grayson Allen and Mike Conley have as high or a higher 3-point percentage than Steph Curry, but Steph's Steph, so they're just going to put him in 99 because whatever, but which is fine. I think he deserves that, but yeah, this shows the Dame hate, but
yeah,
I love it. Cody gets amped.
Love it.
Speaking of video game ratings, Cody, did you know Daniel Jones is a starting quarterback in the NFL? So you would think he's top 32 in Madden ratings. He is not. quarterbacks. Which is just shows how these video games are crazy, because let's not act like Daniel Jones isn't at least a top 25 quarterback, if not top 20.
If you have a household name, you're going to be good. Like, they're top 10 guys in the NFL by position. And you're like, what? Like, yeah. I get it, but like, you're old and
like, you know, Bobby Wagner. Gosh, I'm so anti Bobby Wagner. It's unbelievable. Okay, but this is not about Madden. This is about the Blazers, and that's all we got today. Next podcast, you should see one more this month of August. Wouldn't be surprised. Like, you never know. The Blazers could make some moves, but I don't know. Is August? August is kind of the slowest time for the NBA, and you know, just Joe's just been in Joe's been in hibernation.
Like, yeah, Joe. You know, Joe's actually still on that same walk.
Yeah, just don't even get me started on that. Gosh, that was the most frustrating night of my life. But yeah, that's all we got, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to go follow our trivia pages on TikTok, Instagram. Make sure to like the shorts, like the videos, and look out for more YouTube content in the future, not just about the Blazers. So if you're also listening on Spotify, go over to YouTube too. So thank you guys for listening. Peace.